The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 1 Podcast.
And good afternoon. Welcome in. We made it to Thursday, and there were times this week when we didn't know where we would go. Great to have all of you here. It's been a very interesting 24 hours since we saw you last 20 hours, I should say. Both North Carolina and Ohio State have put a temporary pause on voluntary workouts. The real workouts will take effect next week, and we'll get an update on all of that with Heather Dinich coming up here in just a few minutes. Also, a number of guests will be dropping by, including Booger McFarland, former LSU All-American, played in the NFL, and of course was on Monday Night Football last year. Matt Berry, who one of the voices of college football at ESPN, will also come by. And certainly yesterday, leading into today, have been a very busy time in college athletics as people have reacted to the two stories I mentioned a minute ago, the Stanford story, as well as the Ivy League story. So, why does the Ivy League story getting so much attention? Is it just because it's on the East Coast and there are a lot of Ivy League influencers in the national media? Possibly. There are also a lot of other reasons for that. And there's also been some interesting reaction. Late last night, Commissioner Sankey on Freddie and Fitzsimmons on ESPN Radio had this to say.
I want to be optimistic, but the reality is publicly, I mean, we have to discipline ourselves to remain healthy as a culture. And that relates to some of the behaviors we've seen that have caused the spread to accelerate. And I've been optimistic, but I'm prepared that optimism is not reality. And what I'm concerned about is that reality has been changing and has caused me to not be as optimistic as I may have been 30 days ago. But throughout it all, we've been preparing and planning and thinking about what pivots we may have to make. And those are the important decisions over the next, 3, 4, 5 weeks that are going to be in front of us, given what's happening in the public health domain. So if you've got 4 or 5 reasons why you have to stop, are those 4 or 5 reasons still going to be there come February or March when you contemplate the start of spring football? And what I've not heard is clarity that, these circumstances will be very different. And that's the answer. That's the information that's really needed to inform that decision. Possibly could that ever happen? I would never be the one to say no, but you have to think about the evaluation points that lead you in that direction. And will you have substantially different information that inform that decision-making 6 months from now?
Craig Sankey on ESPN Radio last night. So I'm going to hold off on my opinion on this because if you've watched ESPN since 6, 7 o'clock this morning, you perhaps have seen that reaction by me. I'm most interested in your reaction. You heard what he said there. I'll try not to couch it any way other than get your reaction to what he said, because I thought that was a different Greg Sankey than you've heard here almost weekly since March 11th. What do you think he meant? Or was it self-explanatory? That was a really interesting comment, I thought, there. And we'll spend some time getting your reaction, because he is the commissioner of the SEC. He's arguably the most influential voice in college athletics. He commands the most important conference in college athletics. He certainly didn't sound enthusiastic about spring, but why should he? The fall is when everything happens in the SEC. The key words I thought there, and again, I don't want to answer your questions, but we would like to hear from you, and you want to give us a call, we'll take your calls immediately at 855-242-7285. I thought the key word was prepared. He is prepared that optimism is not reality. What does that mean? He talked about the Ivy League decision, saying that was not an inflection point for decision-making. And then he went on to say, now, when you look at what is happening, those are the real inflection points for us. I want to be optimistic. But the reality is publicly, we have to discipline ourselves to remain healthy as a culture. And that relates to some of the behaviors we've seen that have caused the spread to accelerate. I've been optimistic, but I'm prepared that optimism is not reality. He said a great deal there. And we will get your reaction to that in a moment at 855-242-7285. The other part of this was the Ivy League that sent all this into outer space. Robin Harris, she is the executive director of the Ivy League. I guess that's tantamount to being the commissioner, I guess. She joined Sarah Spain on ESPN Radio and had this to say.
Devastated as we are for our student athletes and our coaches, it became apparent as campus policies for students generally and for those campuses were finalized in the past several weeks that it was not going to be possible to have athletic competition this fall because the policies across the campuses, and they vary from campus to campus, but generally speaking, there are travel restrictions for faculty, staff, and students. There's limits on who can visit campuses, who can enter campus buildings. There are social distancing requirements, limits on the sizes of groups that can gather. Several of our campuses right now have limits of 25 as the size of groups. And then we have a number of campuses who have significantly limited the number of students who are able to come back and be in residence on campus due to dormitory limitations and social distancing needs. So when you take all of that together, we treat our student athletes or students, campus policies apply to intercollegiate athletics, and it became readily apparent that it was not feasible to be able, that we weren't going to be able to hold athletic competition this fall. And it's a sad decision. It's one we didn't want to have to make, but it was very clear it was the right decision.
So that was the head of the Ivy League giving explanations about what and why they are doing what they're doing. As we're talking about that, about this, there has been scuttlebutt all day long about what various conferences are planning to do. And one of them, the Big Ten, according to Nicole Auerbach, is expected to announce today they are going with a conference-only plan. That has been on the back burner. Now, by the way, that doesn't mean you'll have a season. That just means they're already punting on a full season. So we'll talk about that. Heather Dinich joining us shortly. All of that coming up next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
We welcome you back. So great to have all of you here. And it's been a busy day. Our next guest saw quite early this morning talking about the ever-changing world of college football. And Heather Dinich joins us. Heather, thanks very much. It's been one of those days when everyone is trying to pick up the pieces and try to figure out what it all means. We ask you at the midpoint of the afternoon, what's going on today?
News desk about the Big Ten moving to a, or approving rather today, a conference only schedule.
Really? Tell us about
it. Hold on one second. I have to send this to our news desk.
Go ahead. We're going to pause while you hit the send button.
Yeah, hang on one second. So multiple sources have said that the Big Ten is in favor of fall sports playing a conference-only schedule. That's the news. And I'm pretty sure that it'll come out later today, if not tomorrow. But I think it's going to gain traction really quickly. There was a coaches meeting this morning where the coaches gave input, and the decision was approved by Big Ten athletic directors and presidents. I'm told it wasn't necessarily a vote. It was more a decision, and I think the reasoning behind it, Paul, is a greater confidence in the league's ability to test its players, as opposed to not knowing what Team X is doing in terms of coronavirus protocol and far as testing before they get on a plane, come to play Team Y in the Big Ten. Plus, it also allows some flexibility, obviously, as far as pushing the season back. One of the questions that is still hanging out there, I'm told, is whether or not they can front load the schedule with division opponents so that if the season is interrupted, they would at least have those division games played.
Heather Dennis joining us with some breaking news. And Heather, as you well know, I mean, you deal with this stuff all the time. You're talking about a lot of big games. Ohio State was going to Oregon second week of the season. Michigan was Washington. You had Notre Dame, Wisconsin. I mean, they're pretty big games all over the board. I mean, this is not a shock. And I know to some people this sounds like, wow, this is the end of the world. But, I mean, the bigger question remains the ultimate college football season, does it not?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, you know, look, nobody knows if they're going to play college football or not. And I talked to Notre Dame athletic director Jack Swarbrick today as well, and he said that he thinks it's less likely there's an on-time start. Meanwhile, he's got to still prepare to play Navy, right? So they're going through all these protocol plans to actually get the Irish on a plane, fly them out to the state of Maryland, get into a hotel, and go play football. So they're planning to play these games, and they obviously want to and intend to, but there's also a very, very realistic acknowledgement that this might not happen at all. But if it does, they've got to have their plans in place, and I think that's what you're seeing from the Big Ten.
Yeah, and, you know, certainly a new commissioner there, well-respected Kevin Warren. I'm curious what you're hearing in relation to everyone else. There are four other Power Five conferences, and you would think, or should we think, they're going to go the same way?
Well, yes. So I think it's based on what I'm hearing, I would think that the ACC would be amenable to doing this as well. And if the Pac-12 does do this, then, I mean, this is domino effect, right? Forget what the Ivy League did. This is domino effect, because if the Pac-12 does it, Notre Dame needs to replace three games on its schedule. Stanford, USC, and now Wisconsin. They were supposed to play them at Lambeau. So if it does go to conference only, then I think what you see happen is Notre Dame goes over to the ACC just for this season, because they're already playing six games against them anyway, and helps fill those other conference games, those other league games, excuse me, I can't talk, those other games for Notre Dame's schedule that they would play. They would be ACC games. And then in the SEC, that's a whole different monster. I think Greg Sankey, as powerful as he is under tremendous pressure within his state, politically, football-wise, you name it, from athletic directors, boosters, presidents, to play as many football games as possible. But that being said, if everybody else is doing it, he's not going to have much of a choice, because if the Pac-12 does that, USC just can't play Alabama.
No, and I mean, we have competing universes going on. I don't know if I want to call them parallel yet, but you know, Heather, really, since last night, the conversation has intensified on the likelihood of a season. And today, nobody knows. I mean, we ask the questions every day, but we also acknowledge nobody knows. But take us through with this announcement. I'm sure every commissioner right now is huddled. This story had been rumored for a couple of hours. I mean, certainly you were hearing it, and everyone is not surprised. But you know, once they all start making pronouncements, the bigger question remains: what else is on the agenda over these next few weeks? And what are the five Power Five commissioners? Mark Emmert, he's watching it too. What are they all watching and looking for right now? What are the leading key indicators of whether we're going to have a college football season or not?
Well, I think the first is the coronavirus itself, right? You look at all the hot spots throughout the country, and you can't throw a dart without hitting a Power 5 conference school right now in one of those states. Arizona, Southern California, Texas, Florida. I mean, right there, all of those athletic directors and conference commissioners who have campuses in those states are watching to see what the trend is. And right now, it's certainly not very good. So the second thing that they're going to watch is the university presidents. And while I mentioned before the Ivy League isn't necessarily going to determine how the Power Five operates, you better believe every Power Five president cares what the president of Harvard has to say about all this. So they're certainly paying attention to the university at the university presidential level, because if campuses aren't open, then all bets are off for college sports. And then I think the other thing that they're really paying close attention to is how are the student athletes who are already on their campuses behaving? Because within the athletic facilities, there are extremely stringent protocols to help keep them safe. But the other 22 hours where they're on their own, I think that's what's really unnerving athletic directors and possibly causing other spikes in some of these tests, because they've all been brought back onto campus. Everybody knew there was going to be some positive tests, and now you're seeing it again as they're tested again and again. And well, that's because they're on campus. They're hanging out with each other and things like that. So all of those factors, I think, will tie in to the ultimate decision, which will probably become in late July, as to whether or not the season can actually start on time.
And Heather, it seems like we talk about this all day and every day, but would you agree or would you not, forgetting the likelihood of the season, but the season starting on time, that seems to be in great jeopardy, does it not?
It really does. It does. I mean, like you said, we've been talking about this for a while, but boom, all of a sudden it's here. And one of the things that came out today, Paul, as well, was the ACC saying that it was going to postpone its Olympic sports until September 1. Well, that's something that I think that you're going to see over the next couple days or weeks, too, another snowball effect, because, you know, I was talking with somebody at Temple who is in charge of the return process. And she told me they were sitting at a staff meeting, and somebody said, well, what about the soccer game on August 30th? And everybody looked at each other like, what? There's a men's soccer game on a, everybody has football tunnel vision. Well, hold on a minute. There's other sports that are actually starting in a few weeks. And I think that you got to put the brakes on that. If you can't figure out that, it's certainly going to take a little bit longer, and they need some more leeway to figure out if they can do college football safely.
Again, Heather Dinich with the news on the Big Ten. Heather, I'm interested in when they make this announcement, and certainly you've indicated you expect them to. What do you think it really means, though? Are they just trying to stay relevant in the moment? Because we all know the questions remain about the season. And why now? Why is this decision relevant today?
That's a great question, and one I'd love to ask Big Ten Commissioner Kevin Warren. But my understanding, or at least my guess, I should say, is that it gives other conferences time to make the decision. I mean, think about the impact of this. You've got Gene Smith, the athletic director at Ohio State, who's supposed to play Rob Mullins at Oregon, who's a fellow former selection committee chair member who sat in the same room. A lot of these people are friends. I mean, this is business decisions, yes, and it's in the health and safety interests of the student-athletes, yes, but there are relationships here. These athletic directors have to call each other right now and say, hey, man, I'm sorry, but, you know, we're not doing this, and then you have to give people time to be able to adapt to that.
Okay, I know you got other things to do, but we appreciate your time. I'm sure we will be seeing you soon. Thanks,
Sounds
Heather.
Good. Thank you.
Heather Dinich with a story literally breaking as we speak that the Big Ten is the first out. Kevin Warren, the new commissioner there, taking over for Jim Delaney, announcing that, not announcing, but they will announce, according to her, that they will play only conference games this year. Now, I know that's a bombshell in one stage of this three-ring circus, but it is really not the biggest one. The biggest one is whether the season will ever go off. And it is showing you that on July 9th, all the things that we've been talking about are starting to unravel. And this has been out there for a while. We've had this conversation here. Nobody should be surprised. But the reality is we are in a several phase conversation. This is happening now. 3 weeks from now, another decision will have to be made. And then ultimately, whether the season begins or not. We will take a break. Much more to come.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
We welcome you back. A lot of news. We're only 30 minutes into the show. Heather Dinich just breaking the news with us that the Big Ten likely to announce today the league will truncate its schedule and only have conference-only games, or maybe they won't truncate it, but more than likely they will. What do the other leagues want to do? She said it. Domino effect. Everyone will likely do the same thing. I mean, these commissioners, remember, work in concert. They have all been meeting every morning together on Zoom, and it's certainly there had been some rumors earlier today that the Big Ten was going to be the first one out. And now it's a matter of follow the lead. Let's see what happens next. So let's continue with more phone calls at 855-242-7285. Randy is in North Carolina, and you are on the air. Hello, Randy.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
I am doing great. Thank you.
The quick question, and there may be a plan, but I was just thinking whenever – it seems like every morning we cut the news on, it's another program that players have got more COVID cases. Can colleges not do what like the PGA is doing or the NBA and create a bubble for these players to keep from the spread of the virus spreading amongst the players?
Well, Notre Dame has done that. They have quarantined all their players. I think another couple of schools have, but most have not. I know one school in particular that everybody's milling around and going out and getting infected. I mean, they can do whatever they want to do, but I think there's a reluctance to do that, though.
But as important as college football is to everyone, why wouldn't they do it?
Well, at some point they might have to make that decision, because if they're going to have a season, and that's really the issue, it's not whether they play conference games or not, then they are going to have to figure out a way to contain it. And by the way, let's see what the NBA does. They're on the clock right now. MLB started last night, and I think the second team has already bowed out. To me, these are going to be the key indicators. If the Major League Baseball, NBA, and soccer can do it, then I think it will make it easier for everyone else. I mean, the NFL is sitting there watching it all, going, okay, we have another 3 weeks to decide how we're going to approach it.
Gotcha. Okay, well, good deal. Well, Paul, I appreciate what you do, and I love the show, man. Keep it up.
Thank you very much. I'm thinking about just quarantining myself to make sure that I can continue to report all the news. Hey, thanks for the call. I-Man, who I think has been in quarantine since Woodstock. How are you, I-Man?
Oh, and you know what? There's nothing wrong with that. I'm going up to the country, my buddy. I'm going home. Going home, I'm telling you. And then we're going to take you higher. And can I get an F? Can I get an I? You thought I was going the other way, but anyway, you know country gentleman, Paul. You know, Paul, you back in the early 60s when Jim was a little boy, he'd have probably seen you on Jack Benny or Ed Sullivan or something because you're a hypnotist. You are Mr. Subliminal Message. When you came on this afternoon, you said, now I'm going to play this, and I'm going to let you decide. But then you pointed out every direct thing that needed to be pointed out. And then, you know, you make up your own opinion. I mean, I'm just kind of pointing this out. These are real important. These are big. You know, Paul, I keep hearing this conversation about we need a college football czar. And I think that's as far of a conversation as there should be. We obviously have heard from Commissioner Sankey, the lady, if you will. That's the Ivy League lady, right?
Yeah, whatever her name was.
Yeah, what her name was. But these are very accomplished people, and they're talking. They're CEOs of major corporations, if you will, with these conferences. And they understand what they're doing, and they seem to work well together. And they seem like they understand. They're not the typical fanatic that calls in this show some Wenderlicker like Jim and, oh, you're so right. I'm so compelling. I'm sapient, you know. And they seem to have it figured out. Do you think we need a, quote, czar when we've got these kind of intelligent people running these conferences?
I don't think a czar would work, like everyone says, because it's a different structure than the NFL, where you're dealing with a small number of people. And even if you had a czar of college football, you're still dealing with five major leagues, which, you know, consisting
all
of
over the
60 to 80 teams.
All over the country, with all kind of fan bases. And it's got work, and it seems to be working up until this point. And I think a czar would be a foolish thing. I think we've got very intelligent people. Like I told you yesterday, you are the only man I know that has pushed Mickey Mouse off the front page. You are the man. You know, forget these Mickey Mouse ears. There's going to be Mickey Mouse. I mean, there's going to be Paul Feinbaum scalps out there. Is that politically correct?
Have a good day. No, but it's okay.
Okay. You have a great day.
You too. Thanks, I-Man. Christian is up next.
Mr. Feinbaum, how you doing?
Great, Christian. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm the one that's always calling, talking about my sports casting career, but I'm up in Alabama for the summer.
How's it going?
It's going pretty well. I'm still on YouTube. I got a little over 100 subscribers, and but I wanted to talk today. I wanted to let you know how that was going. It's going pretty well. But I just think that as we get closer and closer to August and September, Paul, with all, not just with the news, but just like, just in general, like if you had asked me back in like April or May when they first closed everything or whatever, I would have said, you know what? I think it'll die off a bit. I think we'll get back to normal life at some point, you know, and I honestly thought that, you know, it was somewhat of a last-minute panic canceling MLB and everything, but now I'm starting to get worried, and I actually think they're going to cancel the football season. But if they do, I've heard rumors, potential spring football. Do you think that's possible to have a spring football season?
I think in a desperate situation it is possible, and I tell you why it's possible. If they were to cancel the season, you have to be able to sell something to the public. You just can't say, let's say on August 7th, we're canceling the season. We'll see you next summer. Politically speaking, you would say we are going to readdress and hope to get it started again in the spring. And so you give everybody something to look forward to, as opposed to just saying, hey, there's no football. I think there are a million problems with spring football. But I'm sure they're already doing the math right now in terms of how would they be able to reap some of the money back.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And again, you know, at first when this whole virus thing broke out, you know, I kind of looked at it and I heard a lot of people say it's just the flu and stuff and they canceled baseball and everything. And I said, we'll still have football in the fall or whatever. Hopefully it's gone by then. Hopefully it goes away in the summer. But then I hear about a second wave in the fall and it just looks like it's getting worse. Now, they haven't officially canceled really anything yet other than the Ivy League, but at the same time, it looks like it's pretty much all in jeopardy. And I'll leave you with that, and thanks for taking my call.
Thank you very much. It is in jeopardy. But you know, I'll try to explain both sides of it. I mean, if you want to flip an opinion, then, yeah, it doesn't look very good. I mean, who needs me to say that? But if you're the commissioner of the SEC or any other commissioner, then you have to continue to work and look and find. And nobody wants to give up right now. I mean, we haven't even had the first official practice. Next week, we start getting players back in for organized practice. And even if we don't have a season, the football coaches want to see their players and do what they can to develop them. I mean, this will ultimately take care of itself. I think what you're seeing today, Big Ten's. If you've listened to this show, I don't know how anyone could have missed the conversations about that possibility for going on weeks now. So we live in a big story mentality, but this is really not that big a story. It's just another step. We will take a break. Much more to come.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
We welcome you back. Great to have all of you here. Mike is up next in the ATL. Hello, Mike.
Mr. Feinbaum, how are you, sir?
I am doing great. Thank you very much.
Well, I'm glad to see that you have always been the person that looked at this situation for what it was. You had your optimism. But what we're seeing now is how the leadership of this country has politicized this virus. And this virus is going to cost America a football season, which is meaningless when you're talking about 132,000 lives lost. Every other country outside of us is doing testing, wearing face masks, contact tracing, and quarantining, doing everything you need to do to get your arms wrapped around this virus. But no, America turns it into a political football, no pun intended, and now you punting on the seat. And Paul, you kept it 100, as we like to say, but it's a shame that if we had just done what we needed to do, we possibly could not be in the situation that we're in right now. And it's just sad, man. Completely outside of college football, it's just sad for this nation right now. And I hope everybody is paying attention and remembers this in November when it's time to vote.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
I forgot there's an election coming up. Harold is up next. Hello, Harold.
How's it going, my friend? You know, I just wanted to say that I love college football. One of the great things about college football is, even though I'm a political junkie, there comes a time that you get weary of the campaign until November 3rd gets here, and you have college football. So as I think about this, can you see a possibility where the Power Five conferences manage to play just conference games, but no fans in the state. Can you see that working with no fans, not social distancing, but with no fans in the stadium?
I think it would be difficult. Harold, right now, and you know, I'm going to tell you straight, I'm not going to we expect to have 80,000 people. I don't think
so. No, of course not.
If we're only talking about September and assuming we have games, I don't think there'll be a fan in the stadium in the SEC.
Right. So that takes care of that. And if we're still in the same situation as we are on July 9th in mid-September, you think, but in other words, the only people in the stadium will be the media, the television networks, and that'll be it.
And I was talking to somebody today about even the television networks, and
right,
it's okay. You know my schedule. I go to my normal fall schedule. I go to Connecticut one night a week and New York three nights a week. And I was talking to somebody today, and they told me that as it stands right now, considering where I live and the hotspots, that I would have to quarantine if I go up there. So
right, exactly. Connecticut is one of the states, yeah. You know, as is North Carolina.
What I mean by this, I don't know how many people are going to be anywhere this fall.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, none of us were around in 1918, but this is the most incredible thing. The only good thing that I could possibly think that could come out of any of this is if you and Tim Brando did a show.
I would absolutely love that because and Tim may be listening right now. He podcasts us when he's walking in the afternoon, and if he is, it would be great. And you know why, Harold? I wouldn't have to talk.
Sure, that's right. You wouldn't have to talk because it's hard to get a word edgewise with Louisiana Tim. But you know, hopefully, I don't know what's going to happen, and we'll just. Unfortunately, hopefully by August 1st, we'll know. Do you think we'll know by August 1st?
I think we'll know a lot. It's possible that if things are really bad, and Harold, mm-hmm. my prediction is they're really going to be bad.
Right.
Then you could see the powers that be say, listen, we want this football season badly. We are going to wait. Two more weeks. I mean, I think we could get into something like that, or they could just say we're not going to do it, or we are going to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you have a good day, Paul.
Harold, always great to hear from you. Let's continue with Shane. Always like that name. Shane is up next. Hello,
hey,
Shane.
Paul, how you doing, man?
We are doing great. Well, thank you.
Yeah, I was going to comment on that caller, and they just called in about the current COVID-19 and saying it's a political statement, or everybody's turning it into a political statement.
Right.
And then at the end, he said that remember who to vote for in November or whatever. Remember who did this. I think it's all a political statement. I mean, I say we play football, get it going. And everybody play at your own risk. If you don't want to play, don't play. If you don't want to come, don't come.
You know, I think there's a chance that could be the way we do it.
I mean, there's a lot of – you can't shut the country down. You just can't do it.
Well, let me ask you. I mean, the country is not shut down right now.
I know, but that caller that called in a minute ago saying that we should – shut everything down, everybody stay
well,
home.
Well, now let me say, there is a difference between shutting the country down and shutting college football down, but I hear you, and I'm with you. I don't want anything to shut down, but I'm not in charge, so. Hey, thanks. We'll take a break. More to come.